right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are once again. It is the Dom and Colin podcast. I am Colin, here talking more the Challenge 33 with most of the regular gang. Joining me this week, as usual, Matt Liguori and Brian Scally. Haley was a little busy this week, but now that it's becoming the Bachelor offseason, hopefully can have her back in here with us soon. I guess I will first bring in Matt Liguori, who, once again, thank you, I will begin by saying, for being willing to come off the BB Can live feeds for long enough to do a podcast.
As of right now, the feeds are down for a veto competition, so you have all my time in the world until they come back. But I mean, either way, I would have dropped it for this. This has been a really fun season of the challenge. I'm sad it's taken us this long to get back in here and talk about it, but we have a lot to get to, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, and also, Scally, how are you doing?
Oh, Colin, my podcasting mom, you've taught me everything. No, but I'm good. I'm excited to talk about what's actually my favorite show on TV again.
I thought you were about to call me Eminem's podcasting mom, so I didn't know how to. I didn't know which direction that was going to go.
Couldn't insult you right off the bat.
Yeah. Well, always a pleasure having you guys in here. And yeah, what a season of the challenge it has been. I guess I would say, before we dive into it, for anyone who has not seen the first, how many episodes have there been? Five or six?
Six.
Yeah, including the rookie episode, but with that one set aside, five elimination episodes proper. If you were not caught up through that point, we will be spoiling things. Everything that has happened is fair game, but let's get into it. We were talking a little bit before we came on air, more I was talking at you about how much I've really been loving this season. I think it may honestly be like my favorite show on TV, completely non-ironically at this point. Liguori, what have you been making thus far of this season? How has it been landing for you compared to your expectations?
Well, here's my thing. So obviously it's been a great season. It's been a lot of fun. I've been having fun with this show for the past few seasons now. The format changes that they've made with the new people and all this stuff has been a lot of fun for me. My only issue right now is something that I know you love about this season, the fact that it's on Wednesday nights after the whole Big Brother Canada 7 is on at 7, and then we got Survivor at 8.
It's so perfect.
You love it for some reason, but I can't. It's a lot for me to handle because it's like I want to absorb my challenge episodes. I want to like have a fresh mind going into it. The Tuesday nights were great. You know, you have all day to look forward to it, and then, you know, that's the only thing on your mind by the end of the day. So it's kind of not my favorite that we have to share the night with not just one, but two, or not just, you know, Survivor. Now there's also Big Brother that I have in the mix here as well. So it's a lot. But it's been a great season. We're back to the format with the whole elimination every episode. So that's different. Something that we have gotten away from for a while now, but I don't know. I guess we'll get into more about that in a little bit, but I like I said earlier, it's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah. Well, for you, is this the best season? I guess fill in the blank, best season since what for you, to kind of put it in perspective?
I hesitate to say that it has been the best yet, because I mean, A, it's not over. B, I had a lot of fun with Final Reckoning, and Final Reckoning was real. Like, I know it was long and a lot of people didn't like the length of it. And I mean, I guess just to get into it a little bit now, you know, the elimination every episode is great because we kind of get to the point and, you know, all that stuff. But there's so much just from listening to other podcasts and just hearing what these guys have to say on social media. We're missing a lot of what's going on behind the scenes, just with the gameplay, with dynamics back and forth. Like, there's just a lot that we're not seeing, and that kind of upsets me. So that's why I'm afraid to say that it's like my favorite season since whatever. I feel like Final Reckoning gave us everything that was going on, and that was, you know, the great thing about that format. So yeah, there's differences.
Yeah, I will absolutely grant that this is quite a consolidated story compared to what the last several seasons have been for me, been for the show. But at least for me, I have been liking that, and I love having the main challenge and an elimination every single week. And I just frankly, I don't think I care enough about the challenge to want to trade that for having two or three weeks go by between eliminations. But it sounds like I'm quite a bit higher overall on the season than you are, Liguori. Scally, where do you land on that? Am I being hyperbolic? I know that would be out of character for me in thinking that this could be an historically great season if it keeps this pace.
Okay, so for me, obviously, I've stuck with this show for, I don't know, 10, 15 years at this point. So it's always been, like, special for me. But I agree with you. I think this season has been, like, way back to, like, back to form. I've really enjoyed it. I have no complaints whatsoever. I do miss that, like, we're missing definitely, like, there's definitely been fights and hookups and whatever that we're missing out on. But there were so many times where we would come in on, especially the last three seasons, and say, all right, like, that was a dud episode. I'm excited for what comes next. And every single episode this season, I have been so, so excited.
Right. How much of that do you think has to do with the way the vets have been falling? Do you think it's this story in particular that is getting you so amped up for what's to come? Or is it the change in format primarily?
I think it's definitely a combination. I think that you probably wouldn't have, you know, as good of a series without either one of those components. But I do think that it speaks a lot to the strength of the overall cast that we were able to lose so many big names right off the bat. And I'm still so excited for how the season's going to play out.
Yeah, I remember one of the things I got into a couple of weeks ago when Akiva was on the podcast, and I guess check that one out if you missed that. We spent about an hour talking about the challenge then, is I think 90 minutes would be the real sweet spot for how long these episodes should be for, in my kind of perfect world, where I just don't want multiple weeks going by between people or persons or teams being eliminated.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think a 90-minute episode would be perfect. And I'm not I don't want it to seem like I'm down on the season. Like, I'm loving everything about it. This cast is amazing. Like you guys were just talking about, having all the vets fall the way that they have has been, like, amazing television, just because it's not something you ever would have expected coming into it, you know, especially looking at some of the high draft picks that we have on this board. You know, half of them are gone. Like, we did so well in the last draft with, you know, I think the entire, like, first three or four rounds of, like, players that we picked, like, none of them had gone for a while. And obviously it's different because this is, like, you know, we picked the vets pretty much all before we picked the newbies. But I never would have expected to see this kind of elimination order. And, you know, just knowing that there was so much happening, I guess I'm just glad that there's some of the podcasts that I was talking about that I've listened to fill in the blanks. So at least there's that.
Yeah. So actually, one thing before we dive into these specific episodes that I was just reminded of in thinking about things I wanted to address that I had talked a little bit about with Akiva before, but wanted to get your take on, that I'm concerned I'm going to forget to ask if I don't bring it up now, because the person it involves is already eliminated from the show. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about Bananas later on. But Keeve mentioned the idea, and it really fascinated me, and I wanted to hear your guys' take on this, of whenever Bananas is done being a contestant on the challenge, he is all but locked in as the next host of the challenge, and that they would potentially even actively let go of TJ to swap in Bananas Scally. Does that ring potentially true to you?
Could I see it? Yeah, but I don't think that they're pushing TJ out to bring Bananas in. I think it's kind of the thing where if Bananas decides to leave, let him move on, go do First Look, and then maybe once he actually has a little more hosting experience and TJ decides he's done, which I don't think is anytime soon, then bring Bananas in if they're still even looking in that direction.
Liguori, do you see Bananas potentially being the next TJ?
I mean, yeah, same as Scally. Like, I could see it, but I don't think it's coming anytime soon either. I think it's TJ seems to be doing just fine with this schedule. You know, he gets to film a couple months out of the year, and then he's home, and I think he's, like, running a gym out of like somewhere by his house or something. So I feel like his life is pretty fine right now. And Bananas is just getting started with the hosting thing. And you never, like, I feel like at the end of the day, Bananas might be looking for something even bigger than what he's doing. Obviously, First Look isn't like the biggest gig that he could ever get. So if he could potentially get something bigger, I don't think he would have any issue with saying, all right, the challenge is now behind me, even though he continuously says, you know, I'm not going anywhere. You're not getting rid of me. I feel like he's either going to stay, at least for the time being, he's either going to stay a contestant or he's going to just move on completely and do something bigger and better.
All right. I wanted to, sorry for such a random thing to kind of lead off the show, but I definitely wanted to hear what you guys thought about that. But let's dive in, I think, to these episodes, and it's been a little while since we've been in here with this group. It was probably maybe a month or a month and a half before the season actually started airing that we did our draft podcast. Matt, you referenced a draft earlier, and I have no recollection of this draft. I don't think it ever happened. I'm certainly not willing to acknowledge any results that they allege may be in play from here. But how has that been going?
Oh, it's been going great. This is honestly, I don't want to even like jinx myself by talking about it because I've never, I've had one Survivor draft go pretty well, and it was for a season of Survivor that we just don't even talk about anymore. You know, that one between 33 and 35. But this one has been great. We've talked about, you know, every time we go to draft, especially when there's new people involved, you're always talking about how unprepared you are. So I am not surprised to see this result for your team this time. It was going to catch up with you eventually.
I lost every coin flip this time, which I was definitely due for.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So where do we even want to begin in terms of things we need to get caught up on here? I guess let's start with the pairs that like forming early on and talk about some of the pairs that have come, I guess, more to the focal point or like have become prominent as the season has gone on. I want to start first with you, Scally. Something I saw you tweet on, it must have been premiere night, the idea of the newbies drafting vets potentially having been an audible called by production because Kara did so poorly in the like veteran placement draft. Has there been any confirmation, maybe the wrong word, but anything to even back that up, or is that purely speculation?
It's definitely purely speculation. Liguori and myself actually went to a taping for that first after show for the first episode. Once the first episode was about halfway through, I turned to him and said, so they're trying to save Kara, right? But, you know, as soon as the episode premiered like on MTV, they had people had gone on podcast and whatever, and they kind of rebuked that, saying that like, oh no, it had to be set up so in advance, and whether or not that's true, who knows, but it definitely looked fishy.
Yeah. I just wanted to reiterate that just to continue, I guess, to be on brand. I really liked that theory and potentially was hoping there was more to it. But I will absolutely take whatever I can get on that front. And the other thing that I was curious about, and you guys having been at the taping, as you mentioned, for the after show for episode one, got an explanation for this much sooner than I did, but it was surprising to me watching that purge among all of the rookies to see Josh be the one eliminated, because I was pretty confident I had heard that he had had a partner. Did anything else really surprise you guys early on for any of these newbies or the placement order or how things ended up playing out in terms of the partners being determined?
It's just kind of annoying the fact that they still have to do this purge challenge every season. I guess they just like, I don't even know what it is, because they found all these great rookies and whatever. But obviously if they found, 18 rookies that they were like, oh, all of these will be good. Like, what if they ended up with Bear going out in that purge by some kind of, you know, bad puzzle experience and he's gone? Like, you just spent all that money for Bear. There's nothing they can do to control it. They can't stop in the middle of the challenge and be like, oh, Bear, you got to fix that piece over there. Like, they spent so much money on this guy, which, you know, maybe we'll talk about as well later. But what if any of their big stars ended up going out first? And pretty much did, like this thing with Josh. Like, Josh is one of the not the biggest personalities in the season, but he is a much bigger personality than Alan ever could have been. Mr. Telenovelas over there. So I think they need to relax with that, with the purges. But these pairs were pretty good. I wasn't surprised to see most of them form when we watched that episode. Like you said, as soon as we were done drafting, we looked up the pairs because we were just dying to know. So that's why we had all knew, the three of us knew that Josh had a partner. So it was a little confusing at first, but then you see Alan get injured. So it all kind of came together.
Picks really surprise you as we actually got to see it play out?
I think it kind of surprised me that Jenna fell so late. I remember when Gus picked her that he was like, you guys are not caught up on your challenge history because Jenna's a good partner and she's the second to last girl getting picked here. And so I was surprised to see that happen. But I mean, it was a really good field for the veterans. So, somebody had to be towards that end of the picking field.
Yeah. All right. So I guess let's get into just kind of these teams and the things that we've seen play out so far. Obviously, we have a vet and a newbie on each team here. I guess I'll ask you, Scally, who do you think through these first five episodes has emerged to this point as like the number one contender?
I mean, I don't think you can really look anywhere besides Polly and Ninja. I mean, they have the most daily wins. They're big, they're big characters on the show. I feel like they're stacked in every competition they're going into.
I heard it must have been on like the most recent episode. Either she or Polly, Ninja or Polly said she like won American Ninja Warrior five times.
Yeah, well, that's not the case. I saw a lot of tweets afterwards of people checking that information, and apparently that's not true, that she did not even make it to, like, the second round of whatever it is. So I'm not too sure where that information came from or what's going on there, but apparently that's fake news.
Sorry, Scally.
No, what it is that – so in American Ninja Warrior, there's a bunch of rounds, and if to get past the first round – or to even qualify to be on this show is insanely impressive. So I think Natalie was on the show five plus times. She may have made it through like a qualifier. And so it's like, oh, she won. But no, Natalie did not win the show in the course of the history of the show. Maybe like one or two people have won ever. So it's not a show where someone wins every season.
Oh, wow. Sounds exciting. Yeah, I as much as I hate to admit it, I would absolutely agree that at this point it's very difficult to put my money on anyone other than Polly and Ninja being the number one contenders. As much as I do think there is a ton of talent on plenty of these other teams, it also seems like they've been pretty visible on the TV episodes, and Polly doesn't look like as much of a dickhead as they could easily make him look, I would imagine. So I would reluctantly and begrudgingly agree that Polly and Ninja would be at this point the team to beat. Liguori, I'm gonna demand that you answer for yourself. You are a non-ironic Polly stan, yes?
No, I mean, at this point, like, I kind of lean into
are.
It.
I decided.
But that's not the case. Like, I don't even know how to explain my feelings towards Polly, because it's not the hatred that everybody else has. I can openly acknowledge how awful of a person he is, while also acknowledging that he's a great television character and obviously amazing for this show. So I have a hard time. Like, I don't think there's anybody on this cast, on most casts of any reality show, that I actively hate, that I do not like. Like, I just look at them all like TV characters. I don't really think too much about, like, I mean, I guess there's a little bit of a difference, because this season I've actually started to come around on hating Zach and like everything about him. So maybe that's a little bit different, but I don't know. I do not hate Paulie, but I don't think I necessarily stan him, besides, you know, you thinking that I do.
Well, Zach was only on Bumble to see if it worked, okay, Liguori?
Right.
Whereas I really do. Like Polly 100% lives rent free in my head over,
yes, he does.
Over behaving, as far as I can tell, like as deliberately shittily as possible, and getting as far as I can tell everything he ever wanted and more out of that. And I had a realization after the most recent episode where we saw Bear throw yet another tantrum, where I think there are a lot of similarities between Polly and Bear, but at least for me, I can tell with Bear, he would absolutely acknowledge, yes, I'm being a total asshole right now, and I'm aware of that. Whereas I think so much of Polly is fueled by, like, I want to be a man and stand up for myself, yeah. And like he's non-ironically behaving this way.
Yeah, and one of the things that I know, like, the entire cast, he doesn't have many friends. He has Kara, and that's about it. I'll just probably keep referencing some of these interviews that I listen to. The ones that these are on the Challenge Mania podcast. They've had a couple of these guys on throughout the season. They had Bananas on a few weeks ago, and he was talking about how Paulie came in. This is his second season, and he's, you know, you guys remember the old seasons where, like, the rookies would come in, and there was the whole you have to earn your stripes thing. Like, they would have to be on, like, five seasons before they would be considered like an actual competitor, an actual like veteran on the show, whatever. This is Paulie's second season. Banana's like, yeah, this guy's walking in, walking around like everybody owes him something. Like he's entitled. Like he feels like you know he's got this attitude that you can see on the show where it's like, you want to beat me? Come up, like step up and beat me. There's a few episodes ago where he's like yelling down to TJ. He wants to have like his own Jordan moment where he jumps in to the elimination just by being safe. Like I don't know what his. I don't know what he's trying to go for here. Maybe it's just like this is who he is and he just needs to get this, you know, competitiveness out through this. I don't know, but it's a lot. It's a lot with Paulie.
I want to say this about Kyle and Paulie and that whole drama that's been going on for so long. It feels like now it really to me comes across like nothing's ever really going to come of this unless they get the perfect opportunity in some challenge to show down. It really seems to me like both Kyle and Paulie are aware that this is just going to keep going back and forth and we're never going to actually fight each other. And I saw on Twitter the winner and another cast member of Survivor South Africa literally had a UFC mixed martial arts fight because they wanted to like resolve beef from their season. And I want to put this out into the universe. Kyle and Paulie either get into the octagon or shut the fuck up, because it really seems like neither of them is interested in actually doing anything about this. And it's so annoying to me that it's taking up so much airtime.
Yeah, having rewatched the entire season before we did this podcast, I've saved all my rewatches because I knew that I was gonna, you know, do it all at once. This season seems to have three running storylines, I guess, that I've noticed from episode one. You've got the vets that are falling, you know, one by one has obviously been something that we've been keeping track of. The UK alliance is something that has been very prominent, that has been since the beginning. They've been dropping hints and now we're seeing it a lot more. And Paulie versus Kyle has been from episode one every single step of the way, because pretty much one or the other have been in the tribunal. And I guess, you know, on the flip side, whoever is not in the tribunal has been called in to, nominated for whatever the term is for being put up to potentially go into the elimination. So like the two of them, like this rivalry has been like one of the main plot points of this season, and I expect it to continue considering they're both doing so well.
Right, except I'm really hoping that sometime relatively soon something can actually come of it rather than just a bunch of jabbering back and forth. But I'm sure there will be plenty of time to potentially see the rest of that saga play out. Skelly, I want to get into something that we've alluded to a few times, but to dive a little deeper now into just the way that all of these vets have been falling, because to me it really took me by surprise that it was so gradual, I guess, is the way I'll put it, where episode one really felt like, oh, that's awesome, we're getting this immediate showdown between Hunter and Ashley after the way last season ended, and that happened to not go Ashley's way, and there she goes. And then episode two, anytime you lose Bananas, that's going to be a big deal. And that just by itself felt like a story to me. And then the double elimination felt like a huge deal on its own, and it really kind of snuck up on me that every single week we're losing big characters from this season. Is that something that is really surprising to you, Skelly, or is this something that we potentially could have anticipated just given how thick as thieves it seems all the British people are?
So I think that the Brit alliance is definitely the main cause of this. I mean, when you look at their alliance, they've never been tested before, so they don't have all this beef like going back years and years, whereas like Wes and Bananas, they come in day one, boom, explosion, they do not like each other, they're not working together. So it was a lot harder to ask all these vets who have known each other forever to all of a sudden, you know, put all their bygones aside and start working against the British alliance, Whereas the Brits can come in and say, low key, let's all work together, get all them out, and then we'll fight it out later.
Is this the most cohesive newbie alliance ever?
I would say so. I mean, if you look at Big Brother coming in, Are You the One coming in, they couldn't throw each other under the bus fast enough in most cases, or they just simply didn't have the numbers. With the Brit alliance, they're all on different teams. There was six of them. It's no question.
Yeah, and Bananas was talking about how like Scally said, like these veterans, like they all have their pre-existing beef with each other. The Bananas and West thing is, you know, been going on for what, like 10 years, forever now. And Bananas said that, like, one thing that we know about him that, you know, has always been the case is that he looks at this show in like a producer's mindset. And like, while he's in the game, he's pretty much just directing things as he thinks would go for good TV. And we've seen in the past that maybe he's been hesitant before to go after West too soon if he has the opportunity, because he knows that him and West both being in the game is good for television. He specifically said in this interview that he knows, in terms of like all of us coming back, making a good show, getting a good paycheck each and every time, it's good for us to all be in the game, and to, you know, to not have somebody go out second week, which is exactly what happened this week, because he said, you know, Wes has been gone for so long, and I guess he figured that Wes just didn't want to risk having that, you know, risk this being the other way around, where maybe Bananas took the shot first. Wes wanted to be the one to take the shot first. And once Bananas falls, and then, you know, next thing you know, CT is next, Ashley had already gone. It's just like they just fell like dominoes, and there was no coming back from it. And there's still a couple of them in there, but I mean, at this point, the battle is lost.
Right. One question I had was about Wes going for Bananas in the first place, because we see him now on the show very rightly be very concerned about this group of British people all sticking together. But it seems like in targeting Bananas so early, that may have just been his own undoing without actually realizing it. Scally, is that potentially the case here, that Wes missed the forest for the trees and was just so dead set on getting one up on Banana that he sank potentially his entire game in the process?
So when this season first, when that first happened, I definitely had that thought run through my head, but I actually kind of think, and I think Kara even touched on this on one of the Challenge Media interviews, like, this is the perfect format for him to have done that, because you don't have to win the challenge to be safe. You have to be in the top three. And even if you're not in the top three, as long as you have the majority of friends in the top three, you're not going in automatically. So I think that Wes made a very aggressive move, but I don't think it was necessarily dumb.
Yeah. Plus he's you know, we saw really early on that he's formed this duo with Hunter, and it seems like there's more to this Wes and Hunter thing that besides just these two guys. It feels like there's other teams that are kind of on the fringe of it that, like, that aren't necessarily being, like, we're being told about, but like they're friendly with these two guys. So it feels like there is some kind of faction here. I don't know if it's rivaling the UK, considering obviously two guys versus like five UK teams is not a very fair fight, but I mean, these guys are winning, and West has a really good social game. So I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes that we're not seeing, but it's obviously working so far, because they're still in it. These are the, you know, at least West is one of the vets that has not fallen yet. So
Although in the kind of worst case scenario, and I don't see this being the case in many timelines next week, but if we did somehow lose Wes and D next week, and yet another just massive veteran comes off the board, it looks, I mean, it's really just like Kara, right? Who am I forgetting that is like a 5+ year veteran at that point?
It's probably just Nani. I mean, you have Jenna and Nani are the only ones left besides like the recent
guys. Is that a bad, like, are we potentially running the risk that losing Wes or Kara or Jenna or Nani soon would shift the balance too much into the British limelight? Thank you.
I mean, they can't all go home. Half of them are partnered with the people in this alliance, so it's not like like all of the vets are gonna go. But who knows? Plus, I mean, also, like, this isn't any kind of spoiler or anything, because I don't know. But I know that Allie and Brian have speculated that maybe like they'll change teams or something throughout some point in the season. I don't know if that's something that they had heard. I don't think so. It sounded like they were just speculating that this might happen. So who knows if they end up like switching teams or something, and then like the numbers fall back into, like, you know, some kind of different way. Who knows? Maybe Wes and Carr are like the next two out. You never know.
Yeah, and actually, along those lines, I do want to say I love the format of this season. First, like, the fresh meat format is always going to be fun, but in particular, having the tribunal and three teams safe is exciting. And then I think it should be the case as often as possible, if not literally every season, that the elimination format is there's one elimination candidate and they get to pick out of every other person who's not safe, or any other team that's not safe, against whom they would like to compete in the duel or whatever it's called that year. And then furthermore, I also really love the relic where the team who wins the elimination is then safe the following round. I think that is awesome, and I wish Survivor could do something similar to that, where somebody who, like, narrowly escapes something gets some kind of power, but I don't know how anything like that would work. Scally, what have you been thinking about what I think is a new format? This is the first I'm remembering, at least, of many of these things.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely, you know, pick and chose from past seasons with, like, the Troika and stuff like that, but changed it up. I actually really think the best part of that is the relic, in that it's keeping it fresh. It's not the same people going in week after week. You have to strategize around, okay, if I send them in now, they'll be safe next week if they win. So I think it's given, like, a fresh new life to the season that maybe other things like the grenade didn't follow through on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of pairs, like, this is our third season in a row, Final Reckoning, Vendetta. Well, I got that back. Vendetta's Final Reckoning, and now this with pairs. I'm wondering if, like, I haven't seen anything about season 34 yet, but I'm wondering if they're going to keep going with pairs until, like, the wheels run off, or if they're going to, like, switch it up anytime soon, because it's been working.
Do you have any theories about why they seem so in love with pairs?
I don't know. Sometimes, like, when you get the teams right, it works out well. When you have, like, a Kara and a Marie together, and it's like, you never would – at least I never would have thought that that would work. And then, like, the dynamic that they had throughout the season, and then by the end where Marie lost all of her other friends and Kara comforts her, and it's like, wow, look at these two. They kind of became friends. And then you get – on a season like this, you have a pair like Devon and Bear, where it just, like, knocks it out of the park in terms of entertainment. I mean, it's working out for them, especially with the new casting that they're doing. So I don't know if they're going to stop.
My on-the-fly speculation would be that they like keeping twice as many people in the game on TV for as long as they can, right? Like, if they're being eliminated and playing in teams of two, they're going to have more people in the house for a lot longer.
Yeah, when they did Dirty 30, they had the Redemption House. So even though everybody was individually competing, I think I'm thinking of... Am I thinking of Dirty 30? I don't know. Yeah, I am. I think. And there was a bunch of them that were in the Redemption House. So that's the way that they were able to keep them all still in the game without sending people home.
Yeah. So really knocking that out of the park, I would say. And as usual, something where the challenge doesn't get enough credit is we always rave about the genius format, which is, as alluded to earlier, that the elimination candidate picks anyone they want who's not safe to play against. But that's long before the genius was doing that. That was straight out of Banana's first season, at least, back when he was just John, and he was the first boot from whatever it was called, the duel, Scally?
That's right. It was the duel.
Yeah. Great times. I randomly watched that entire season on, like, Daily Motion or something a few years ago, and it was great.
Yeah, that's where generally, actually, one season before that, Fresh Meat, is where I'll tell people to start if they're, you know, picking up the show for the first time and dedicated. But I will say they've been obsessed, going back to, like, why I think they've been doing pairs. Actually, Vendetta's was solo. It wasn't pairs, so it's just been the last two. But they've been obsessed with pairs since all of the exes and rivals, and it's been a big thing. They went back to individuals for a little bit. I think in terms of why they went with it this season, it was that they had been reaching out to so many, like, new blood in the last couple seasons, figuring out who they were going to bring in, and decided, like, all right, let's really go for it. And the pairs format definitely worked the best.
Yeah, and they do really end up with some fun combinations. And I'm going to say my favorite pair of the season so far has surprisingly been, for me, Bear and Devon. I, of course, have loved Devon since Big Brother, but I was really not sure about Bear entering this season, first of all, because I didn't know anything about him, but just what I had heard in our, like, draft preview podcast, it sounded to me like he might be a bit of a handful and someone who would be more of a headache to me than entertainment value. But I was totally wrong about that. And while he has been, from time to time, I am absolutely willing to admit, a bit problematic, he, I think, has really crushed it overall for me in terms of favorite new characters. And something I wanted to follow up on, one of you referenced earlier, Bear being signed to some kind of big deal with MTV for multiple seasons. I guess, Scally, what do we know about that, and how does that work?
I believe, Ligor, you might know actually more. I believe it was a 2 or 3 season deal for like six figures. So when they used to bring in the rookies back in the day, I said they'd pay them with a high five, like, good luck, maybe you'll get on next season.
Right.
But they clearly are reaching out for like who they think is like the best of the best internationally. And I think it worked.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Ligori, have you been enjoying Bear 1.0?
It's like a top contender for my favorite duo on the challenge of all time, these two. I said that from like, I tweeted something about that from the second that I saw that they were together. I was like, Bear, Davon, like, what an iconic duo put together. And they've been killing it every step of the way. I mean, one of the scenes in like the first episode is Davon and Cam seem to be on the same page, and they were talking about, let's both try to get with one of the UK guys. They have the numbers, and obviously it worked out. Cam got with, Cam's with Ashley, boy Ashley, and Davon is with Bear. And both of them have been pretty well insulated by everybody else. They haven't been up until recently. Davon has been getting into some trouble because of Bear, but they've been doing relatively well. I feel like everybody loves Davon. It's different from last season where she was getting, you know, thrown in with Jose because they were the easy fresh meat, just, you know, throw them into an elimination, blah blah blah. But I think that I don't know. In terms of entertainment, they're knocking it out of the park. In terms of doing well in the challenges, as we saw in this elimination, they're maybe slightly like a hair above average. Not like, I don't know. Is that too far to say that?
They're,
I think
not
they're
killing
doing
it, but they're certainly not doing poorly. I was going to say one of the biggest surprises to me has been particularly Davon. It seems like has been really, at the very least, holding her own in most of the challenge. Didn't she win? Didn't she get one of the really early picks in the initial
She won the first that purge challenge, so that's why, you know, she was like the first in line of the vet women to, you know, she was literally the first one taken, so,
yeah,
or second,
and then,
maybe
really impressive in this most recent elimination, and obviously not a surprise, but at this point she may be underrated just because it so obviously goes without saying that she just crushes it in the confessionals. There have been probably like 5 or 6 times this season that I've rewound something to play it back again, and all of them have been Bear and Davon.
I just imagine like Jemmy and all them watching from home and like just being so scared that their phones aren't going to ring anymore because they don't need them as much anymore. Like, Davon is killing it. She was her sole purpose on Big Brother was for the diary room. She was not the best at the game. I don't think she was necessarily caring about the game as much as some of the other people in the house, but she was just obviously made for the diary room, made for these confessionals. She's just amazing, and especially paired with Bear. You know, when she's yelling at him during the elimination, shut up, can we talk? Like, you know, she's like calming him down as much as possible. She's just amazing, and I'm so glad that MTV pulled her in so that we, you know, didn't lose her off of our screens, because we know that, you know, Big Brother doesn't do returnees too often, so this is great having her here.
Yeah. All right. So, Scally, do you think that Bear and Davon have potential winner upside, or is that too optimistic?
I have been impressed with Davon, but if you go back to the tire challenge, I don't think that they're winning an endurance final, especially with what TJ said preseason, where we would be hyped over this final. It was going back to what it used to be, no more of like the stages. So I don't think Davon is going to be, you know, carrying Bear up a mountain. So I think that they might not be able to win, but I am very optimistic about them making it far.
Who do you, at this point, have the done chain on?
In terms of both edit and ability, I'm probably throwing the done chain on. I don't see Jenna and Gus winning this season. That's my definite. There's no shot. I don't see Amanda and Josh as much as like they've gotten some airtime. I just don't think that they're gonna, you know, stack up competitively. And I do feel like we would be seeing more from Cam and Ashley if they were gonna pull this out eventually.
Yeah, as much as I hate to agree about Cam and Ashley, because I really have obviously love Cam and have been really enjoying Boy Ashley, I am agreeing with your what I'm guessing is primarily like an edit based take there of they're just nowhere to be seen for the most part, unless I'm forgetting a lot. But LaGore, does that sound about right to you as well?
Yeah, and the update of the Colin Stone draft team is Killicam and Amanda are your remaining team members. For those not looking at the draft board right now.
Oh, my God.
We have two players left.
What I would say about that is Colin is so far out of it that we should give him some players. LaGore, go ahead, donate. Good to go.
Colin, you can have my Gus if Scally gives you a player as well.
Oh, I don't know about that one. You can ask Haley for Jen.
Haley's not in the top two race right now. You're breathing up my neck the entire season.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You can have you take my Gus and take his Ashley, and I feel like that's a fair fight.
I don't feel like that's actually a fair trade on my part, but okay.
What do you want to give him, Ninja? I mean, but back
to
the
take Wes and be it.
Yeah, okay. That's not happening. Wes was literally the number one pick that I wanted. In terms of the Dunn chain, I agree with everybody that Scally said. I'm just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop on this Jenna and Gus thing, you know, now that Zach's gone, now that it's just, you know, Leroy and Shailene went out this week. It seems like if people are looking for some teams that might be a little bit easier to beat in eliminations, those two have to be coming up eventually. But everybody else, I feel like, are pretty much in it with the chance. You got Turbo and Nani. Turbo's obviously a beast, and Nani's been doing well keeping up with him. Georgia and Hunter have been doing well. Kara and Theo, like, there's a lot of really good teams still left in this game.
Yeah.
What I would say, the only one is this is like a little bit more, this is not edit based at all, but just ability wise. I mean, we watched that tire challenge and Hunter was gassed out on the first tire and it wasn't tearing, it was just rolling. So I don't know that Hunter is, again, racing up this mountain and pulling out an endurance based final. But edit-wise and otherwise ability-wise, they seem to be all there.
One thing that I was definitely remiss not to get a little more into earlier when it came up, but definitely want to now, which is the prospect of these people switching teams. As you mentioned, Allie and Brian have apparently been floating that theory around, and I absolutely buy that, just based on the fact that in that double elimination, it happened to not go that way, but the majority of the time, there would have been a new team formed.
Yeah, that's if anybody doesn't remember, during the double elimination when we had Maddie versus Natalie Negrotti, who, yes, was on the season, and Julia, and then you had on the guys, it was CT, JP, and Kyle. And what TJ had said was the winner of each round will remain in the game, and if that means it's two people from a different team, they will form a new team. So I totally agree that that probably didn't end the way that they were hoping. They probably wanted a new team to be formed from that, but when you have Kyle, I don't know, Kyle probably could have gotten taken down by CT in another day, but especially Maddie on the other side, those two came back together. And the fact that, you know, earlier this season they were calling them allies a lot. They weren't, TJ wasn't ever really saying partners. I think he might have started saying partners recently, but when he was saying allies, I was like, it doesn't seem like they're so locked in with each other. Like something's potentially coming.
Yeah. So maybe a major kind of shakeup down the line could completely swap around who's done and who's not. But as things stand right now, I think that sounds about right to me. It seems like I would say the like top tier for me would be Pauly and Ninja. I'm going to put, I would say Turbo and Nani in that group. I think Kyle and Maddie could potentially be in that group, just given Maddie probably dominating pretty much anyone she's up against, right? Then I haven't seen a ton out of Theo, but what I've seen has been impressive, and I feel like Theo and Kara have got to be in the mix too.
Yeah, Theo's the track athlete. The reason that I wanted him so early in my draft was because he's an Olympic track athlete. Like, I don't know if he's made it. I don't know if his career is anywhere near as impressive as like a Lolo Jones. That's a joke, but yeah, he's got the endurance, and Kara's run how many finals before? I'm not worried about her. So if they happen to be together in the final, I think that would be like a very top tier threat to look out for. But I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, and I'm realizing I left Wes and D even out of that kind of top contenders list, but I don't know a ton about D. Am I underselling D here?
Well, what I would say is, again, not to go back to the tire challenge, you know, 74 times during this podcast, but it was my favorite. So what I will say is that even though they did not come in the top three on that challenge, Wes did have confessionals being like, oh, I'm very impressed with Dee. She's keeping up in endurance. She could be a real threat here. So I would keep an eye out there. But otherwise, I haven't seen too much from Dee that would convince me that she is, you know, at the top of the board on the female side.
Okay. I would say in terms of the rookies on the top of the board on the guy side, and potentially just the rookie standout of the year to this point, someone I know you, Scally, are a big fan of as well. I have been absolutely loving Turbo. I think every single Turbo scene is fantastic. And he seems to be really showing up in pretty much all of the challenges. Scally, where do you think Turbo and Nani stack up in terms of the likelihood of winning? Are they near the top of the pack for you?
Well, first, I think Turbo literally may be my favorite person on the planet. And second, Turbo and Nani, they're definitely my heart pick. I really, really want to see them pull it out. I think they're fully in there with the shot, but I wouldn't put them, you know, maybe second or third. I'm not putting anyone above Pauly and Ninja. But I definitely see them there at the final, at least, with a shot.
How great is Turbo? I mean, his every one of his confessionals, him talking to Nani, he calls her mom. Like, he is, like, amazing television, and I cannot see them not bringing him back in future seasons, which is great because he's been amazing. And, I mean, if him and Nani are to stay together, I think that there might have been some foreshadowing. It felt like when CT was going out, it was weird to me to back it up a little bit in that – in the episode where with the double elimination, when CT goes home, Nani was targeting CT specifically in that week. Like, she was talking about her and Turbo were in the tribunal. I always want to say Troika. And they picked CT, though. That was their selection to go in. And then when CT was like going home, she was like, well, I'm happy about that. I didn't really know where his head was at. So I don't know. I guess those two didn't really have a connection. That was something I just wanted to flag up. But I would love to see Nani finally pull out a win because, you know, there's no hope for the Leroys out there, but I think Nani could do it.
Has she never won?
No.
Oh, man.
Right? No, she came in second. But
yeah,
she,
Nani's never won. What I'll say in terms of Nani getting CT out was actually a point that I meant to highlight with Wes earlier, is in terms of Wes going for bananas or Nani going for CT, I do think there is a little bit of positioning going on there where all these vets, they might not collectively be that close, but like every person that was close with bananas pretty much is also close with Wes. So Wes taking out bananas frees all of them up as now his ally instead of bananas' ally.
Yeah.
And I think Nani doing that to CT also takes CT away from Wes. So now Wes has to rely on Nani more because they're also decently close.
Yeah, we talked about, like, I think in the draft and just before the season about how it seemed like Bananas was so set up well because all of his friends were here. But, I mean, as it turns out, a lot of these friends of his are also friends with Wes. There's the whole thing with that the episode where Bananas goes out. There's the thing with Zach where is Zach helping Wes out to take Bananas out? And we'll get to Zach later because there's a lot to talk about with his situation this season. But we kind of, or at least I did, I underestimated how close some of these vets were with Wes as well. It's a weird dynamic with the Wes CT Bananas thing, like these old vets, and especially with CT in the middle, like he's friends with both. Him and Wes have had all these seasons of Champs versus Stars together where they've been working together, I guess, as much as you can work together on those seasons. So yeah, obviously things fell in Wes's favor, and you know, that's how that played out.
Yeah. So before we get too far off just these newbies, obviously, it sounds like Bear is going to be someone we see again, and I'm optimistic, and I think it seems likely at this point, based on literally every Challenge fan I've ever talked to after this season, that Turbo is immensely popular, and I'm guessing we'll see him again, assuming they don't go out like next week. But who are we looking at from the newbies thus far that we are anticipating seeing a lot more of? Scally, is anyone really jumping off the page to you beyond Bear, Turbo? And I'm also going to say, I think Ninja Natalie is going to be here for a while.
Okay, so to stick with the guys first, I would say that really the only other two guys, maybe three, that I'm looking at are Theo is, I think, pretty much a lock to come back at some point, maybe not directly right away. I think Ashley has a shot if he pulls out a little more this season. I know he's done stuff like him and Zahida had a little like hookup romance thing going on that got cut ultimately for 10 more scenes of Kyle, Pauly, and Kara. But so Ashley, I think, has a shot. And then Josh, while not living up to it athletically, Josh has been fairly entertaining. In terms of women, I think Georgia's the biggest lock by far. She's been good athletically and in confessional and with drama. So I think Georgia's by far the most likely woman to come back. And I would say I'll give it to Ninja, Maddie, and they're the most likely. I wouldn't be surprised to see a few other people back, like a Morgan, due to her positioning with Bananas. And I don't know, even I said a Zahida or D potentially, but that's about everyone that I could expect to see back.
Yeah, Georgia was definitely an oversight by me, and I'm with you for sure on Maddie, especially if Kyle and Maddie end up making it pretty far this season. Liguori, is there anyone you think we're leaving out there, or anyone you would personally want to see a lot more of?
I got to see Shailene 2.0. I got to see what she can do, right? No.
I thought you were serious for a second. You never know with Liguori these days.
Yes, I'm a Pauly stan and a Shailene stan. This is something you can jot down. I would not be surprised. I know we talked about this the other day. I didn't really like, we talked a little bit about how Morgan might come back. I think that like Morgan's the kind of pick where it's like a Sylvia, where it's like you wouldn't look at Sylvia and say, well, this person's obviously a lock to come back for future seasons, but they're like they're good with production. Production likes them. They can bring it enough for the show. I don't know. I think that Morgan could slip in there for another season or two, depending on, I guess, how much room there is on the final cast. And then I think that Gus is also somebody who is he's MTV. Like, he was bred on Floribama Shore. Like, he is an MTV guy from the start. So I think that if they can get him in on another season, regardless of how this one finishes out, I would not be surprised to see him again. And then, I mean, everybody else that you guys mentioned pretty much all makes sense to me. The only one that I take a little bit of an issue with, which is something that Bananas brought up as well on the podcast that I was talking about, is Ninja. She's not great TV, and I don't know if that's a hot take, but she is just not doing it for me in terms of entertainment. She's obviously an extremely physical, like great competitor, and it's great to have as many women doing like Matt giving Kara a run for her money in terms of being athletic, of course, and you know Maddie's there too. They've both been great, but I don't know. Ninja's just doing everything Pauly says. She's not really jumping off the screen. She's just, I don't know. She's just smiling so much. I want more from Ninja, and I feel like I'm just not getting it.
I just have so much faith in Ninja coming back because it seems like she is dominating these challenges, and they probably want someone in there who it seems like can hang with pretty much anyone at whatever they throw at her.
Yeah, sure. But like if Ninja's gonna go home, and that means that like I mean, obviously it's not a direct correlation, but like I'm sure they'd rather have like an Ashley Mitchell stick around for more weeks than a Ninja. But like, you know, when you put all of these like stronger women on the show, are they going to send home the more entertaining ones? And I feel like at the end of the day, they're looking for the entertainment more than they are looking for people doing well.
That's true. That's definitely fair. To quickly go back to Morgan, I feel like I heard the other day that there may be more to the Morgan and Bananas relationship than was on the show.
Yeah. When Bananas was doing that interview, they've been kind of quiet about like their actual like status. So, you know, there's been plenty of speculation like what is going on there with Ben Organ, as they call themselves. But as soon as they were eliminated, there was a YouTube series that went up. So I guess as soon as they left the product where they were filming, they went off and did adventures around the world together. And, you know, it was like, oh, what's going on here? So when Bananas was on this call with Derek Kaczynski, Derek asked about Morgan, and then he put Morgan on the phone, who was apparently in the room next to him. So Morgan was at Bananas' house watching Netflix, and he was like, all right, so what's the status going on here?
May or may not have been chilling.
Yeah, I think Morgan specifically said Netflix and chill. Or I don't know. They put it in a weird way, but they were like, we're more than friends, but less than lovers is what they labeled it as. So there's something happening there.
All right. Was Morgan, in what little we got to see of her, someone that you would want back on the challenge, knowing what you know from her time in BBOTT, or potentially someone that we're okay without?
I'd love to see Morgan, more of her. I think that, you know, obviously we got a short sample size this season. And it's interesting. I feel like Morgan's kind of getting a little bit of what Paulie's getting. Nobody likes the people that are attached to like the Kara and Bananas. Like, I don't know. I feel like those, like somebody in that spot automatically gets tons of hate because it's like, oh, you're just using Kara, you're just using Bananas to get back on the show. So I know that Morgan has gotten a lot of hate, from some of the former cast, members or people that didn't get a call this season. Maybe some people on this season have been giving her a little bit of crap online. So I don't know if it's going to go well for her, you know, next time, because at least Paulie has like the physical that he can back it up with, you know, his attitude, and he's sticking by Kara, but he can take anybody on. So I don't know if Morgan really has that. So I don't know how well it would go for her.
I mean, I feel like, to go back to our draft, I was mocked for taking both of the Nolan twins with the explicit reason being they seem like the perfect Johnny Bananas bait. And he just goes with a different blonde from Big Brother. Like, how do I lose every single one of these flips?
I mean, this time it was I don't know if you have a three-sided coin, but there was three options here. So you picked the two that were not the correct option.
Yeah, it's the let's make a deal set where I'm picking one of the doors. And I got the goat.
Yeah, I will say, in terms of Morgan coming back, she is also on X on the Beach on MTV right now and has basically been like one of the narrators. Production seems to love her. They brought her back on the first after show when they didn't even bring in Johnny or a bunch of other big names. So I think production loves Morgan. I think we're seeing her back.
Okay. I guess more coming down the line about who will be back for future seasons. I'm sure the spoilers will be out there as soon as season 34 starts filming. Do we know when that's going to be? Is that soon?
I haven't seen anything about it, and I always like get nervous when like we're in like the middle of this season, and I'm like, when are you going to start filming the next one? Like, I'm so used to back to back to back, and I haven't seen anything even about a casting rumor yet, so I have no idea.
Yeah, there was rumors that it was going to start filming a little later than normal this year, but since I think they actually are filming the reunion pretty soon over in London, so they are speculating, since the reunion is filming now, that probably means that some of the people who are on next season will not be available to film the reunion later.
So every British team's stock just went up for me if they're going to London for the reunion instead of flying everyone out.
I mean, I will say that, first of all, they could have. You have so many British people, and like D's from Australia, and Turbo's from Turkey, and yada yada yada. That it's. I think it's a little easier probably to bring everyone into one central location like London. I don't know what the status of getting a working visa is here versus there to bring them in, but I do think that having, you know, five British teams currently still in the game, we had to expect that at least a couple of them are going pretty deep.
Sure. No,
like I said, one of the major themes of this season has been the UK alliance, so I'm totally not surprised to see them bringing the reunion to the UK people. So,
yeah, I want to go back to something and just kind of looking through the notes of what's been going down through these early episodes. Something that has come up a little bit, but I want to dive a little deeper into the whole situation surrounding Zach this season that really confused me, frankly, in the moment, where I didn't even notice during whatever challenge, the mud pit challenge, where he threw a ball at Wes and that really set off Bananas and that sent Bananas out the door, how all of this drama, it seems like, found its way to Zach in a situation where it seemed to me as if he was just, as much as he could, lying low, given that he's Zach and is occasionally going to like freak out at people. LaGoria, can you talk me through what all went wrong for Zach here this season?
Yeah. So the story that has been told by two people now, Kara and Bananas, have both told this story. And when Kara said it, she thought she was telling the story to like the public for the first time, but Bananas had actually said it like a few days ago. So it does line up. It didn't sound like Kara had like heard Bananas talking about it and then, you know, jumped on board. Apparently Zach was just not invested in this season from the start. The story is that he had a friend's wedding to go to during the time of filming, but he was still on the cast. So what he had been saying to, I guess, his close friends, which I guess includes Bananas, but also includes Wes. I don't know that if you need somebody to go against in an elimination, pick me and I will take the fall for you. So the first time that this happened, when obviously Bananas was the one who was put in during that second or third episode, whatever it was, and he calls Zach down to go against, and everyone's like, "What? Really? You're going to go against Zach? Like, this doesn't make much sense. Like, I know you guys are maybe not getting along, so I don't know. Like, something happened in the episode, but it was weird. It makes a lot more sense knowing that Zach had apparently told them, I will take the fall for you. But then where it gets weird is the fact that Zach did not lose that elimination. I guess I don't know if that was hard to throw or if he just decided in the middle of it he didn't want to lose or what. So that was weird. And then obviously during that episode you also have where he throws the ball to Wes, and then everybody sees that he was helping out Wes, which is ultimately what sent Bananas in. So I don't even know. And then, you know, the way that Zach is going to go out of this season is in an elimination with Wes. Zach and Zahida get called in, and then they have to pick somebody to go against. Not sure why they pick Wes, but I don't think Zach planned on winning that elimination. He wanted to get home. So that's Zach this season.
Okay, because I was also wondering why he picked Wes, and that makes way more sense. But, I mean, Zach beating Bananas in that elimination was like the only points my draft team earned this entire season. So I was very excited about that outcome. But, yeah, a pretty disappointing outing, I would say, for Zach this time around. Scally, anything that we should be concerned about for Zach going forward, or hopefully he just won't have weddings to attend?
I mean, I would just love if Zach stopped coming back. But in general, I mean, at the time, so I've Bananas calling him down confused me. That got cleared up. But then with Zach throwing to Wes, I was like, this doesn't make any sense that Zach would be working with Wes. He called him into an elimination later. It doesn't make any sense, only to find out, well, he called him into the elimination to guarantee that Wes would get immunity for an extra week later. So all the pieces came together. The story seems to line up. I don't think it's indicative of how Zach's going to do on future seasons. I think it shows why, allegedly, the night before they picked their partners, Zach had zero interest in meeting any of the new people, knowing that he was just going to get one of the weaker competitors and go home early.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of stories checking out there.
And also, sorry, I just didn't want to, like, move past this too fast,
but
there's also the whole thing with Jenna, obviously. You know, this is their, like, season back together, and then you have in the beginning where they're fighting and he's calling security on her because there's the whole Bumble thing and she's not leaving him alone. So he's like, secure. Like, I don't know what the hell that was about. Just like, overall, this could be Zach's worst season. And that includes a season where he won and was berating one of his team members the entire time. Like, this was just such a bad outing for him. Like I said, like 20 minutes ago, I've completely turned around from somebody who just didn't really care much about Zach, like, either way, to like, I don't like this guy anymore. Like, I don't know how Haley feels about him because she had been coming around on Zach. I don't know. Hopefully we'll get her take in the future, but I'm over Zach. I don't need him anymore.
It's felt to me like he's had a few seasons like that, right? Where to be generous, it seems like his heart's not really in it, and he goes out maybe halfway through.
Well, no, he was fine with Carl. I mean, in Vendettas, and the, you know, the two of them were working together kind of well. He made it to the final. I guess his heart was in it because he made it to the final. So I don't know what it is, but I don't know.
Before that, I feel like there were seasons where he would come in with super long hair and then have a shaved head the next time and just seem totally out of it.
I may be inventing that.
It's entirely possible that I'm inventing that.
Zach definitely went home in like a few spots where you wouldn't have expected him to go home in the past. I will not sign on agreeing that I think this is Zach's worst season. I think he's done this and worse on pretty much every season he's been on. So I think maybe for me it also has to come in with the expectations that I have for Zach. But again, I hope I don't see him back. I know I will. Even though he's currently is still third in the confessional counts, which you would never expect because he's not that exciting. They don't leave an impact, but we'll see him again.
Yeah, he was just kind of the middleman, I guess, between Wes and Bananas. So there was a lot of explaining that he had to do. Plus, you know, the stuff with Jenna, and then he was talking about, oh, my head's just not in it. I don't know. I guess that's where all the confessionals came from. But yeah, we didn't need him.
Are he and Jenna still together?
Yeah, she moved to Michigan, I think, to live with him.
She's going to live her New York life, to live her New York life in Michigan, which, yes. I mean, I have not been to Michigan, but I do not think that is, sorry to anyone from Michigan, but I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, someone else we lost tragically early, not that Zach was necessarily tragic, but CT certainly was someone I was not ready to see leave after like 3 or 4 weeks. Is there any kind of behind-the-scenes scoop, Scally, on what really went down there, or was it just JP wanting to be competitive?
Not that I have heard. I think it was just JP making a boneheaded move. Supposedly him and Natalie talked it out and they decided together, but I don't know. I was very, very upset to be losing CT. But as he alluded to on his way out, hopefully this is the kick in the pants to get CT back. I want to see CT coming in. You know, he won not even that long ago, but just the last couple seasons, it's been not looking great for CT. So I'm hoping that turns around.
Yeah, you know, my thing is, I think, like, I don't want to feel this way, but I kind of feel like maybe CT should take some time off until like they're going to bring in a bunch of veterans. Like they've been speculating about, or we've been speculating about, maybe they'll do like a veterans, like an old school versus new school one of these days, especially with all the new blood they have. And they have a bunch of like older school players that want to come back, but like there's been no way to really fit them in. But CT, somebody who I guess is gonna get the call if they have room on the cast for him, and you know, he wants to be there because he's CT, so obviously he's got that spot. But I don't know, just after seeing last season it not going well and this season, I don't know if his game really fits in with the others. Like, he's not gonna be involved in the UK Alliance, he's not gonna be a main player in the Wes and Hunter Alliance. Like he's just kind of there. He even mentioned this at one point, like he doesn't have like great alliances or deals with anybody. He said because he knows the people are just going to break their word anyway, so he doesn't even bother. So I don't think he's like refusing to play the game. I just think that it's not like everybody else is just playing at a much faster speed than him, and that's why for the past two seasons, like, it's just not been working out in his favor.
Yeah, it seems like the general game plan, and it's very understandable for a vet who came up in the time when he did, you guys described it well earlier, where rookies just got automatically thrown in by everyone for the first like 5 weeks of every season, and people just got a pass. You know, veteran players just got a pass. It was truly like a cult almost back in the day. For someone who came up like that, it's understandable that he may just be going in there thinking, I can hopefully skate by for a little while and then get close enough to the end to hopefully win my way to a final if need be, and then ideally take it down from there, but at least get some kind of prize money. But it really does not seem like he's interested in playing the political game.
No,
yeah. What I was going to say is CT, I know in another recent interview, CT feels like he's got one more win in him. He's really going to try to pull it out. But I think CT got into a spot where for so long people were terrified of CT, so they were never going to call him in, and so he started coasting. And then as soon as that, he got a little comfortable, but people still respected CT, and they liked CT, so they didn't call him in. He didn't have to try on the social game, and then now he's gotten to the point where they brought in all this new blood, and guess what? They don't care. They want to win. They don't respect. They'll call you in. So CT definitely, it caught up with him, and I'm hoping that turns around, but it's going to take a little time.
Yeah. I thought he would have a hard time, honestly, drawing up much of a better elimination than the one he got with the three rings, where you have to get two of them in that double elimination. Seems pretty tailor-made for someone like CT. And actually, maybe like the biggest surprise outcome of the entire season to me was Kyle coming away from that with two of the rings. Your boy, Kyle Scally, right?
I'm not claiming Kyle as my boy anymore, but still Tony. I'll go Tony, but not Kyle.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. but it really does seem like CT is going to probably take some pretty fortunate circumstances breaking his way to eventually win another season. But I'm certainly not going to dunchain CT's career. I think it's at least possible.
Yeah, I wouldn't dunchain it at all. I just feel like if he wants to get that win, like maybe just if you know what the season might be before you get out there, like if you see that there's a bunch of new kids or something, maybe just relax until you know that there's going to be like a Darrell or a Derek with you, that like that people that are old school that will have your back, because obviously Wes and Bananas and Leroy, any of these old school people, we're not really thinking about, let's make sure CT is safe. Like that's not on their minds. So
Darrell to me is like when you see Michael Jordan on the sidelines at basketball games, I say to myself, I bet he could still suit up and like hang with these people. And like Durrell is that exact guy. Like just hearing his name is like, I bet Durrell, even 5 years from now, could go in there and beat the shit out of these people.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope so. But then what was it, Dirty 30, that he was on the cast? Do you remember he was on the cast only a few years ago? He was
I do remember, and he was like first one out.
Yeah, it was the same kind of thing. Like I a lot of these people just have their connections with each other. And I think Scally, does this sound right that he was like somebody voted him to go in first or something?
So
or?
What happened with Durrell on Dirty 30 is he did really kind of get screwed by the format where it was like it was on the purge on the first round where he just happened to not come in the top four. And then he happened to be on the worst team in the second stage. And then he happened to be like on the worst in the third. And then someone didn't select to save him. So I think Durrell, Derek, and you name them, they could come back and they could still compete. But I don't think they're going to have a full old school versus new school. The best they can hope for is old school versus like a middle school versus a new school where you're going to have, you know, Durrell and CT and Bananas versus, I mean, probably at this point, the middle school is going to be throw Paulie in there. And then the new school is going to be, you know, the fresh meat from this season and anyone newer.
Yeah.
Paulie, a grizzled vet.
Yeah, exactly.
It would pretty much be like anybody from like, I don't know, like Rivals 3 prior to anybody from like 29 through the end of the trilogy to like the new kids is what it would be like. The Are You the One era is in the middle and all those guys would be on that team.
Yeah. Liguori, you said, although I cannot confirm that this is true, Natalie Negrotti was on this season.
Natalie Negrotti was on this season and it took four episodes, I think, for her to I think she got a confessional on her elimination episode and it was very, very basic, nothing exciting. I don't know what is going on with that. I don't know. I remember, a couple months ago, it was after the season had filmed. I think she had been interviewed on Challenge Mania and she just didn't sound like very high and excited. So I don't know. I was worried that maybe she didn't do too well, but I didn't want to read too much into it or anything. But then obviously seeing the way that things played out, this did not go very well for her. She didn't even make it on the screen. I would not be surprised if we take a little bit of a break from Natalie on the challenge.
Scally, is this potentially the last we see of Natalie on the challenge?
I also listened to that same interview. She sounded completely dejected. I think that it's possible maybe we take a break from Natalie, but she was such a bright spot for them and, you know, the last two seasons she was on. I do wonder, first, her and JP played not much of a role in the overall season from what they decided to highlight. So that's one reason she didn't show. But I also wonder if Natalie going out in between all of these big vets led them to be, oh, we really want to focus on like all the people that went earlier, all these big bets, and oh, Natalie went too. We don't need to highlight that. So I wonder if she was possibly a casualty of the story they were trying to tell early on.
All right. I would be totally fine with having Natalie back on a future season, but I will not be heartbroken if that doesn't end up happening, and it wouldn't blow me away if that, for whatever reason, doesn't end up happening, if we do take a season or two off from her and then it just, we'd never get back around to having Natalie on the show again.
It's really results oriented sometimes with the way that these guys finish. If Kayla did not go out so early last season, then she would have easily been on this cast. There's no way, like if she had like made the final or something, like Kayla would have been here, especially with Jenna on the season as well. But when you go out early, it kind of gives them like a reason to say, all right, well, we're going to take a little break because people already have forgotten about you throughout the season. So let's, you know, throw other people into the mix. So I feel like Natalie could just fall into that same kind of category. But side note, I really hope Kayla comes back soon.
I do too. I've always been a Kayla fan in terms of having her on my TV. I don't know much about Kayla beyond that, but may not stand by that stance if I found out more, so let's keep it that way.
I just feel like we need a conclusion to Kayla versus Kara, and we have not gotten that yet, so I would like to see that storyline kind of either wrap up or just take it to the next step. I don't know. There's something more to see there.
I remember at the beginning of last season commenting that I really liked Kayla showing up with whatever it was, blue hair or green hair, as kind of like the rival to Kara in her bright red hair.
Oh yeah, it was great.
What's that?
It was great, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like the only move better than that is for their next season together, Kayla should show up with bright red hair too. I think would be awesome if she tried to just like invade Kara's territory to the fullest extent.
Yes, that'd be great.
Yeah. So I guess in kind of just thinking back through these boots reverse chronologically, that would bring us back to Johnny Bananas here at this point. And I guess I'll ask Scally, what are we thinking about the future of Johnny Bananas and how he may fare in challenges going forward? Was this obviously his, you know, second person properly eliminated is a massive outlier in terms of his recent results, but are we projecting that going forward it may continue to be an uphill battle for Bananas?
I do think that. Again, on one of the interviews, I think it was Paulie that made the point that Bananas has really settled into the role of, oh my God, everyone's against me, but he's not doing anything to change that. He's not trying to work with these rookies. He's taking his same stance he always has. Oh my God, the rookies got to go first. I'm not dealing with them. Wes can do that. And it finally caught up to him. So I think we've all been waiting for that season without Bananas, and we finally got it here.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it was a big surprise when Bananas, or at least to me, when Bananas fell to like the middle of the second round in our draft. He'd like always been a first round pick, and I don't know if that's even going to be too crazy next time. Like, I could potentially even see him falling further, depending on like the theme or the rest of the cast, if it looks like another situation where the house is just loaded with people who like each other and hate Bananas, which it seems like is an ever-increasing population.
Yeah, I'm looking at the draft board now. He was picked sixth by Scally, and I know I remember Scally saying, like, you kind of feel like you have to take him at this point. And I right. feel like any time in the future that Bananas gets drafted, it's going to be that exact reason. Like, he's at this point, I just kind of feel like I have to take him. And I don't know if I'm ever going to want to pick him again at this point. It's not that I don't think he could ever do well again. It's just that the tides have been completely turned. Everybody is all on board of, like, oh, everybody doesn't like Bananas. Makes it very easy to just get him out of here, so he can't do his thing. He can't, you know, make any moves happen against me or whatever, because we can easily just get the troops together and get Bananas out of here whenever we want to again. So I don't know if that's going to happen again, like every season, you know, going forward. I feel like especially production will find a way to make sure that it doesn't happen again if he's on next season. And who are we kidding? He will be. But I don't know. It's been a couple rough seasons in a row. I tweeted the other day just something that I had thought about. Bananas in his last eliminations, last eight, he has won one, and this includes, you know, redemption challenges. And then Devon, I had noticed, had won three out of her last five elimination challenges. So when Devon has a considerably better record than Johnny Bananas, challenge legend, you probably have to figure out where you're going wrong, and if it's training, if it's just preparing, if it's playing too much of a producer role and not playing a participant in the game role. He's got to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, this time certainly 2 years ago, if not a year and a half, 1 year ago, it would have been pretty crazy to me to consider Bananas never winning another challenge a realistic possibility. But at this point, as I would still take the over on 0.5 career challenge titles still to come, but I don't know if I would take the over on 1.5, and it wouldn't blow me away at all if Bananas never wins again.
Yeah, and especially if the finals are as dramatic as we've been hearing that this upcoming one is supposed to be. You know, I don't think he's necessarily as in shape as a lot of these other guys. I know that Wes will beat him any day of the week in some kind of endurance today. Paulie obviously will be there. Yeah. Paulie will kick his ass. I don't know how prepared Bananas is to do another legit final.
Turbo, I would probably take heads up against Bananas in, in whatever. How old is Bananas?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say around 36.
Yeah, 36 sounds right.
Okay. So a couple more years in him, at the very least, I would imagine. But I don't know if he's going to be Tom Brady out there suiting up when he's like 42 still.
I mean, he's another one who's got to hope for like the old school versus new school, some kind of season where he can have a team that carries him far. And even if they split up the teams at the end and just say, all right, now everybody for themselves, like that's the kind of format where maybe he could do well and have some of the strong vets all together, you know, like that might be what he needs to get another win.
I mean, maybe they'll format it old school versus middle school versus new school, and Bananas is just on all of the teams, and whatever team wins, he's on all of them.
Well, what I was going to say about it taking pretty much with having either solo or only two winners a season nowadays, I don't know that there's many competitors at all that I'm taking are going to win more than, you know, two more challenges in their career if they continue this trend. Mm-hmm. But with Bananas especially, I think it would take going out like five seasons, six seasons in a row early every time for them to stop calling in. And at that point, it's going to be like, all right, Bananas and Zach or Bananas and Wes, like, you're a team. Keep going. Like, you're giving the strongest partner. Like, okay, it's you versus, like, Josh and, like, Jemmy. Like, let's go.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out, but it is very interesting. That's not a very creative word, but it's weird, I guess, just living in this world where Bananas is, at least to some extent, an underdog now in the Challenge House after so many years of dominance. But I at least am looking forward to seeing how the rest of that story ends up continuing. And someone I'm really – I can't tell if they're an overdog or an underdog. Our all-time winningest prize money recipient in the Challenge is our first boot this season out of the veterans. Ashley, unfortunately, not going to be on our screen for too long this season. I loved having the Hunter and Ashley showdown resolved like right away after so much tension with the final and the money steal last season. But as I said, super disappointed to lose Ashley early, and I'm just nervous. It feels to me like there have been at least a couple of times where Ashley's been one of the first people out, or I guess one of them, she got like kicked out early or quit early, things of that nature, where I'm always just nervous that Ashley, especially now that she's got like $1.5 million in the bank, is going to just lose her taste for the Challenge. Ligori, am I right to be concerned about that at all, or is Ashley going to keep coming back?
She'll keep coming back if they keep calling her. I think that I don't know what, you know, what, how the situation is with like what they pay individual returnees to keep coming back. But I feel like Ashley is somebody that they would throw maybe extra money towards having her come back. She is one of their best, women characters that they've had on the show in recent years. She always brings the drama. Obviously she is doing well with the actual challenges, considering she like Kara said in the beginning when she put Ashley in, you've won two out of the three that you've actually tried on. She's been on four. One of them she like sent herself home, you know, like the first week, but out of the three that she's actually tried to win, she has won two of them. So or I don't know if I'm getting those numbers exactly right, but whatever, you get the point. She's really good in terms of like a competitor to keep bringing back on the show. I don't think that we're looking at a situation where it's like Bananas, where she's facing like an uphill battle to like ever do well again. I think that she has a lot of friends, a lot of like friends that she fights with, but they still come back to her eventually. She's just, I don't know what it is about her, but she's just going to keep doing well, I think, if she ends up back for more.
Yeah, and I'm certainly, again, here for as much Ashley as they want to give me. Scally, did you enjoy the mini taste of Ashley we got this season?
Yeah, I have so much to say on Ashley and Hunter, especially once you bring him in. But with Ashley, I was very sad to lose her early. It's true, she goes home first or she wins, so it's a very high variance. But she's so fun. I mean, even just before they pick the partners and her and Theo get in a fight, and she says one of probably the most badass things on the show I've heard, where she says, you know what, I'm going to pick you and I'm going to quit so you go home first. It's stuff like that where Ashley's so fun. Like,
it's amazing.
Just like,
yes,
a totally different level than almost anyone on the show is. Like, she genuinely, she wants to win. She's there to compete. But at the same time, like, she's won. She has the most money. She'll quit and go home just to screw somebody over. So I think it's like a completely different dynamic that she brings that almost no one else does.
Yeah, well, let's bring Hunter into this. How much of her leaving this season had to do with the way things played out last season?
Everything. And just to wrap up on, or I don't know if we're wrapping up, but on that that elimination, it was like when you talk about the challenge and you talk about how like how great it is that they have all of these players come back from season to season, because you get to watch them grow over time. You get to watch story arcs like evolve. You know, of course, you could point to CT as like the prime example of like one of the most amazing things to watch over the years on the challenge. But just to watch storylines like this just end on such a dramatic note at the end of last season and then get wrapped up so like I would say perfectly in like the first episode. It's like they didn't drag it out throughout this entire season. Like they just both of them got in the ring and whatever the elimination's called right now, I forget. And they just went at it, and one of them came out, and one of them got sent home, and then both of them, I'm sure, will end up on the next season to see where they fall. But just like challenge storytelling is so great when it comes to these kind of things. It was so much fun.
Yeah, and it's so rare that you get to see something. I mean, okay, so Wes and Bananas have had their issues for how long? And outside of a Champs vs. Stars elimination, we've never seen them go head-to-head in an elimination. So for Ashley and Hunter's beef to be wrapped up literally the next episode after she steals $1 million from him, it was so satisfying, but like so upsetting at the same time to just like see it like totally squandered the storyline.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel like Scally Hunter has been recovering this season after such a cruel ending, cruel in from his perspective ending to whatever last season was called, Final Reckoning?
So obviously we don't know all of their, like, if they could have easily not highlighted that Hunter and Wes have an alliance, and I'd be even more confused by what Hunter's doing. So he may have other alliances, but Hunter going against Ashley and Amanda, which I said preseason, I was worried he was going to do when he's coming into a house. He's not aligned with, you know, a Bananas or a CT or anyone else, basically. So for him to go so hard against Ashley immediately when she wasn't going to come after him is a little crazy. And he's making week after week questionable decisions where it seems like basically Wes has finally figured out, like, Hunter is the perfect wind-up toy. You just point him in a direction and he's going to run straight through that wall. He has no strategic ability. Like, it looks like on his own whatsoever. But it's been exciting.
Yeah. I feel like Hunter is probably someone we're going to be in store for a few years to come. Right, Ligori?
Yeah, and I mean, this season is especially interesting for Hunter because he doesn't have the Young Bucks with him. He doesn't have Nelson. He doesn't have Corey. They even inducted Joss in at the end of that, and none of them were here. So it was him kind of on his own, which, like Scally said, he just became like the perfect person for Wes to pick up and use for his game. But, I mean, Hunter has said even this season that the social game, the political stuff is just not really his strong point. His strong point is like an eating challenge. Some of the main competitions, obviously not so much endurance. But I don't know. I think I agree with you that he's going to be back. I just don't know where his story goes besides, now that the Ashley thing is kind of wrapped up. Like, is he just going to jump right back into a Young Bucks thing next season? I don't really know where there is to go next with Hunter, but I mean, especially we saw that the second episode, him and Leroy got into it over whatever that was about. Hunter like rips his shirt off and gets into a fight. So if he's still willing to be somebody who's going to get into a fight and perform well in competitions, they'll keep bringing him back.
Yeah. So I guess let's get back into some of these teams that are actually still in the hunt here, and a team that we touched on just in passing earlier that I'm really disappointed we haven't seen more out of, but I still think it's at least possible, given how plenty of recent challenge winners have been edited, that either of these two could still be in the mix, or they together could be in the mix if they stay a team. I have been for a long time a huge fan of Cam, and I've been really liking Boy Ashley to this point, but it really seems like we just haven't seen a ton from them. Scally, where do they fit in politically, just if anywhere, outside of having the British alliance just by virtue of Ashley being British?
So it seems like obviously the British alliance is their biggest, their strength in the game right now, aside from their physical ability. I think that they've both, again, been victims of Kara and Polly and Kyle's drama being highlighted, because Cam had her own issues with Leroy and Theo and that whole storyline. And that wasn't highlighted really until this episode. And like I said, Ashley was hooking up with Zahida. That easily would have been a storyline on any of the last three seasons. Completely missed out on that. I generally think Cam is so popular that they would try to highlight her on her win, like on her first winning season. But given how it was just last season, Ashley and Hunter had pretty quiet edits for winners on most other shows.
Invisible for the first couple months, if you don't mind me saying.
Oh, I think it was one of the final podcasts that you had said something along the lines of like, it can't be Ashley and Hunter, right? So it's coming down to, I think they're in there with a chance. I think that there's time for them to develop a storyline later.
Yeah, Colin tried to take Ashley and Hunter from me before the final, if you will remember, from my draft team, because it did seem like they didn't really have a total shot to win, but he wanted to have a shot going into the final. So, yeah, that's what almost happened there.
Yeah, and Liguori said yes, and it was very generous of him, and we all remember it fondly.
Yes, no, that did not happen.
Yeah.
But I'm with you guys that I don't know. I feel like it doesn't seem like you would point to Cam and say right now that it looks like she's going to be the winner, but we know what Cam can do. We know that if she ends up in an elimination anytime soon, that she'll be able to get herself out, especially with this guy next to her that, what does he call himself? The Beast, I think. Something like that. But I don't know. This is a strong team. I would be surprised to not see them go far. I don't know.
Yeah. I would be surprised to see them not go far as well. It's really just how quiet they've been that leaves me even slightly pessimistic. And one team actually that I am more optimistic on than I was necessarily anticipating was Scally's boy Kyle, whose entire behavior he completely condones, and his partner Maddie. Not only have they been hooking up, it seems like they've been really performing well. And in particular, I know I referenced this a little while ago. It really seems like Maddie is going to have a huge edge against pretty much anyone she's up against, and that is very helpful when it seems like, you know, at least if this most recent elimination is any indication, and certainly plenty of challenges in the past have realistically come down to whoever has the strongest woman on their team wins, and the guys are more or less going to cancel each other out. Liguori, how do you feel about the prospect of Maddie and Kyle potentially winning this?
I could see it on Maddie's end more so because obviously she's a very strong player. Kyle, I don't know if he has that endurance in him. I feel like I remember something from, I don't know, like a season or two ago, whenever it was close to the final and he was like not doing well because I think he was a smoker. I don't know if he still is. Mm-hmm. So he kind of was like doing poorly when it came to like, you know, running long distance. So he might kind of fail there, but Maddie's been great. That elimination she had versus Natalie Negrotti and Julia just really reminded me of Laurel versus Jasmine, you know, years back where Jasmine was just, you know, being tossed around like a rag doll because Laurel is obviously much stronger than her. Maddie had two competitors to go against this time, so it wasn't as, I guess, easy for her. I think they were both of those girls were like fighting Maddie at the same time because obviously that's the person you need to take down. But she's someone to watch this season and going forward. I saw somebody on Reddit today posted they were at a bar and Maddie was behind the bar working. Like she completely just went back to like normal life because apparently she's been working there for a while. So I guess she's back at her old job just being a bartender.
I would love to see Maddie backpack Johnny Bananas in some elimination.
I wouldn't go that far.
I feel like it's in play. Yeah. And Scally, I assume, of course, going, rooting for this team to see your favorite win.
Okay. I don't know that I'm rooting for this team, but I would say at the rate that Bananas is going in eliminations, backpacking by Maddie might be in his future. In terms of Kyle, the beginning of this season, I'm not that impressed with Kyle. I thought the same thing back on Vendettas. He really struggled in the endurance right before the final, but then surprised us in the final by coming in the top two guys, coming in third overall in the season. Then I come back into this season and I'm not that impressed with Kyle. I'm not sure that he's going to do well. And at first I wasn't convinced, but just on that tire challenge, he was one of the few people that actually made it all the way to the end, all 10 tires, and pulled that final clip. So I'm not completely counting Kyle out as much as I thought I would be at this point. I don't think they're the top contenders, but I definitely think they're in there with a shot.
Yeah, and I remember before the season, we were like, did we really need Kyle again? Like, they took a break from so many of these newer players just to get the – I don't know. I just felt like we didn't really need to see Kyle here. But obviously, this Paulie versus Kyle has fueled him into, like, the next season and the next season as well if they keep this going. So he's going to be around.
And in trying to think through, like, Kara's relationships beyond Paulie, all I'm really coming up with at this point with the people left in the house is a pretty bad relationship with Kyle.
Yeah, a bad relationship, but not a bad game relationship, I would say. Like, there was when Kyle and Maddie went into that elimination and they were looking around for who to call out, Kyle specifically said, Kara is there and could be an option, but I still kind of care about her. So as much as, like, all of this is going on, it seems like he's not trying to bring her game down in the process.
Okay.
That's just, that.
It does seem almost miraculous that despite this close proximity to Paulie and despite, at least for my money, Kara's likability factor coming down 1,000% over the last season and a half or whatever – it seems like they're still staying out of eliminations and no one's really gunning for Theo and Kara at this point, are they?
I still love Kara, and I always will. I know that you're kind of out on her, but I love Kara.
Well, that's because you love Paulie.
No, it's because I love Kara.
I don't know. I think it's you only love Kara now because of her proximity to Paulie. Everything else has been wiped away.
Go back many drafts. Whatever the first draft we did, I've been standing Kara since day one. I think I picked her first in like a draft or two. I just needed Wes this season. Otherwise, she would have been my first pick as well here.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll check the tape for that. Skyly, something you mentioned earlier is that it sounded to you like Kara's partner Theo has a decent chance of being asked back, and he's certainly been fine and performed well enough in the challenges, but he definitely wouldn't have crossed my mind as one of the more likely returnees out of this newbie group.
I mean, if you're looking at the guys on this cast in terms of who's competing, who's bringing drama, who's hooking up, like, Theo checks all the boxes. He's in the love triangle with Cam. He's fought with Ashley on the first night. He's had, like, three other fights I know that have been cut recently. So whether or not we see them, I know production is seeing them. And so I think Theo has a very good shot of at least getting that call, whether he's on next season. I mean, I just don't think there's that much competition on the guy's side in this cast in terms of the newer players.
Especially if they think you're going to be down with Kara, that probably can't hurt.
Yeah, I do think that Kara could use a few more allies. I think she kind of has cycled through with them. I mean, even in the Challenge Mania interview she did the other day, they were like, who are you still close with? What's going on? And the people she named were people that all came in the last, you know, two, three seasons. So Kara hasn't maintained the old relationships as well as you would hope. Maybe partially the other people from those old relationships aren't appearing on the show as much anymore. But, I mean, with who's left on the show, Kara's close with Cam, I think. And that's about it outside of Paulie.
But, hey, I mean, she's doing a lot better than Bananas. I mean, in terms of, like, she mentioned, like, that she's friends with Tori. Tori's obviously not on this season. She has Cam. She said that her and Wes have been doing fine. It's so interesting with Kara because you see that, like, the Bananas and Zach relationships with Kara have been deteriorating, I guess, as Paulie has gotten closer to Kara. They, like, these guys hate Paulie, so they've been kind of distancing themselves from Kara because they don't want to be around Paulie. But I don't know. I think Wes and Paulie, like, have some kind of mutual respect or something, so I guess that's okay. But Kara, like, this is, like, the third or fourth season in a row, just off the top of my head, where, like, I know, like, she has not been going into eliminations. Like, she has obviously been performing well in the main challenges, but, like, even when she doesn't, no one is thinking, like, all right, this is our chance to strike at Kara in the way that they are thinking that in terms of Bananas. Like, let's get Bananas while we can.
I think this format may have something to do with that, or just any format where people get to pick, because I'm guessing if there were people against Kara, it would be a lot easier to rally the troops in theory than it is to say her name when you're down there being the person who has to actually compete against her.
I would never call her in while I was down there and say, let's go, like, I'm going to compete against you. But in terms of being in the tribunal and saying, all right, well, we have a chance to throw her in and, you know, maybe she'll pick a weak team and end up winning anyway, okay, but we should take a shot. We should try to get her out now.
Gotcha.
Because you go against her in the final, and what are you going to do? You're going to have a really strong competitor to go against.
Like we said, though, with having three teams automatically become safe, first Kara and her and Theo, who's also her strong partner, they have a good shot of coming in those top three teams. And then if not, she has a good shot of, you know, Pauly or someone else coming in those top three teams who's two locked votes that are not going to be against her. I think that, like you said, people are going to be, you're not calling Kara out, and especially Kara and Theo together. Maybe last season, Kara and Marie, but you're not going against the strong team. And then I will agree that Kara's been good in terms of, you know, compared to Bananas, but that's because Bananas has set himself up as, like, you should want to take me down. I am the top. Kara's never been like that. She's not going to brag and say, I'm the best. She'll actively do the opposite and say, like, no, lots of other people are good and they've impressed me. So she's good in that, but she hasn't maintained relationships the way that you would hope for someone that's been in the game this long.
Yeah, it's certainly always going to be a player to watch, and I'm sure this is going to be a team to watch for as long as they stay in there. Perhaps less so the what I'm going to dub the Jordan Parhar Memorial train wreck team of the season, Josh and Amanda, who, frankly to me, I'm amazed that they're still on here this late. If you had told me that I would lose all but two of my team members in the first five episodes or whatever, I would believe you, but I would have thought Amanda would for sure be one of them. Liguori, what have you been thinking of Josh and Amanda and how they've managed to, I believe, not have to be in even an elimination to this point?
This is like one of the, like, if you're going to find a partner for Amanda, Josh is one of, like, the top picks out of this group. Imagine if Amanda was with, like, Turbo, like, the sweetest guy who's doing everything for his partner. Like, imagine if he was calling Amanda his mom and saying, like, I need to do everything to make sure my partner wins, and it was Amanda. Like, no, Amanda needs someone to do their best to match her level of crazy, and I think Josh is really good for that. There was that scene of the two of them talking on the bed where Josh was trying to, like, calm her down and say, listen, like, you wouldn't be in a good position right now if it weren't for me. And Amanda's like, no, you don't know this game. There's a method to my madness. When I get loud, like, I can get loud too. With, like, there's a reason that I'm doing it, and it all pays off. And I'm like, okay, Amanda, like, I don't know what you're trying to say, but this guy won Big Brother because of, well, okay, let's not talk about why Josh won Big Brother, but Josh, at least at this point, he is the self-awareness to know what he's doing in the game. He's, I think, been playing as well as he can on his end. He's got a relationship with Turbo. I think he's made a couple friends in the house. I think he was friendly with Gus also. Funny note that on Josh's interview, he talked about how Gus came up to him at some point during the season and said, hey, you want to fight? Because I haven't been getting much camera time. So that's something that happened. But I think Josh has been great. Thank God. Well, not thank God somebody got hurt, but thank God he was able to come back into the game and really be a presence on the season. It's been a lot of fun.
What, do you not like telenovelas?
I don't even I've never watched one. I've never heard of this guy before, and I don't think we'll ever hear from him ever again. Sorry, Alan.
All right. Skyly, what do you think about Josh and Amanda and their kind of skating through the game so far? Is it a nuanced political game, or is this just variance?
So what I will say is I think that they are friends with different people, which has really benefited them. I just did a quick look through basically who was voted in each week. And first week you got Hunter. He's calling out his vendetta. Bananas calls out Zach because he thinks Zach's going to throw it. Then the next week, Kyle and Maddie go down. They call Natalie and JP, who are also, you know, similarly weak team. Zach calls in Wes again. So it's been over and over. It's been either like it's been their friends or it's been people making moves for reasons besides like, okay, I just want to beat a weak team. So I think their luck may be running out soon, but Josh and Amanda have done well in the political game. Josh has impressed me, especially compared to what I thought my expectations for him were pretty much that going out in that first purge challenge or somewhere around there. So I'm optimistic about seeing Josh again on another season, which I did not think I'd be seeing.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me, but I, again, would not weep at night if Josh did not end up coming back on the challenge, just because as fun of a character as he is, it really seems like it will take at least a couple of years of working out a ton for Josh to even be competitive in most of the finals.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be like a top contender, but I wouldn't count him out as like a contender. I think he showed, even in like the first challenge after he had been, you know, brought back to life in this game, him and Amanda won and they were in that first tribunal of the season. They haven't been back in since, but I don't think he's anywhere near like the bottom. I think there's a lot of people that are going to be worse than him. And I'm sure he's been training in the off season because he's now that he's gotten this this first call, he's going to hope that he's getting more. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets stronger. I know that like somebody like a Devin did not start off as somebody who was super strong, and I'm not sure where he's at with that right now. I know that he has been training like crazy for the next season that he does get on. So I don't know. Hopefully Josh can follow the similar kind of route.
All right. Well, hopefully I'm wrong. I would love it if Josh could become a legit challenge competitor because he is obviously great TV. Maybe not the greatest TV is I think the last pair that we haven't talked a ton about, and that is because there hasn't been much in the way of major developments with Jenna and Gus. They haven't really been winning anything and also haven't been in any of the eliminations as far as I remember, and have mostly just been popping in maybe two or three times an episode between the two of them to interject with some comments. I know we saw a little between Jenna and Zach back when he was part of the equation, but I would guess that most challenge casual fans wouldn't even know at this point that Gus is on the season. Liguori, are we missing out a ton on Gus and Jenna, or is this understandable given the other personalities in the house?
You know, it's understandable. I think Gus is a competitor. We saw a couple weeks ago he had that challenge where he like bit through his lip and he got like a bunch of stitches. I think he's like scarred there now. He posted a picture on Instagram. So I think he's got a lot of fight in him. I think people were even calling him like a young CT a few weeks ago. I saw. I think that there's a lot of promise in terms of him being competitive, but I don't know how he stacks up against some of these other guys in terms of being a great TV character, which is something that has obviously contributed to him being less present on the season. And I would think that also like I'm saying that he's probably doing well in terms of competitiveness, but I don't know if he's going to be hanging in there all the way to the end, you know, running a final and winning. I think he's still got some work to get to that level. But like I said also earlier, he's an MTV guy and I would expect to see him back. So I think there's room to improve here, but this is probably just not their season.
Scally, you watch Floribama Shore or watched Gus when he was on it?
So I watched the first season, quit at some point in the second. I didn't really have high expectations for Gus coming in, and I've gotten pretty much what I expect. I feel like that story of Gus going up to Josh with the self-awareness of, I'm really not doing anything in this house, really tells me a lot that I don't even know that production's going to be that excited about Gus either. I don't really think we need to see him back. He's fine, but it's just not been that exciting. When you have the self-awareness that you need to start manufacturing drama and haven't even been able to succeed in that, then I don't have high hopes for you. And what I think may be a little of a hot take is I think we may have seen the peak of Jenna's challenge career past us already.
And was it her first three seasons?
I mean, yeah, to be honest, I think as soon as now, if she and Zach, in air quotes, are in a happy relationship, then I don't know that Jenna is going to be the most exciting challenge cast member for years to come.
Okay. I'm certainly someone who enjoys Jenna whenever we do get the chance to have her on the season. And I do think she would probably be in the mix. I'm trying to think of other major exceptions to this for most kind of universally popular challenge contestant that maybe she's not necessarily a ton of people's favorites, but I would guess pretty much everyone who watches the show likes and roots for Jenna, unless I'm certainly not like in touch with the hardcore or casual fan base, but I can't imagine too many people not liking Jenna on the show. So she's someone that I would anticipate, as long as she wants to do it, still getting called for quite a while. Liguori, where does that stack up for you? Does that check out?
Yeah, I think she'll definitely keep getting the calls. There's no reason to not put her on the cast, especially when she's such a fan favorite. And I know that the entire cast loves Jenna. Like, it's funny because you'll see all of the cast members yelling at each other on Twitter, going after each other for this and that. And then you have Jenna who puts out a tweet that's like, I forgot to put on shoes today. And everyone's like, we love you, Jenna. Like, you're so funny. You don't get involved in drama. You're just you all the time. So I think that as somebody, like you said, so universally loved, I have a hard time seeing them ever saying, like, all right, she's not interesting enough to bring back anymore. I don't know if we need the Jenna and Zach storyline to continue for her to be interesting. But I don't know. It gives her something because I don't know. Like, this is the one team we haven't talked about yet, but that's pretty much because where do they fall into this house? Like, they're not with the UK people, either of them. I have no reason to believe that they're with Wes and Hunter's side or anything like that. I don't know if Gus and Hunter have any kind of close relationship that I'm forgetting about, but I just don't know where they fall. They just feel like they're kind of there and waiting to be called into an elimination one of these weeks.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is it really does seem like they, to this point, and I wasn't sure if it was just because they haven't been on TV and thus we don't really know what they're doing, but it seems like they've really just been skating by and hoping not to get picked. And while I don't think either of them is a weak link by any stretch, it's hard to feel great about their chances against some of these, you know, there's so many just really strong teams that I don't know how much longer I really forecast Jenna and Gus being a part of this game. Scally, do you feel like there are any reasons to be optimistic about them sticking around for long?
No, I would not take the, you know, give me 2.5 episodes, give me the under. I think they're going home soon.
Yeah.
Both edit-wise and ability. I don't see, like, their number has to come up eventually. You can't leave, you know, too many layup teams like that far, especially when you have a giant UK alliance of five teams. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I believe they're the only team. I'm looking at the board right now. I think they're the only team who has not won a challenge at all this season. I think everybody else has won at least one. Even Josh and Amanda, everybody else has won something, but besides those two.
Wow. Yeah. So I guess TBD on how things shake out for Jenna and Gus if they do decide to end up showing us some stories involving them. But I guess to Ligori, before we move too far, are there any major storylines from these episodes that we haven't gotten into that you wanted to dive into further? Or you, Scally, as well, but I'd ask Ligori because he very graciously did all of the notes for this episode for me.
There's a couple things, maybe. There's some showmances maybe that we didn't really get too deep into, the Georgia and Bear of it all. There's been Nani and all of her relationship quests that she came into this season like, I'm single, I'm here to do whatever I want to do. And then we saw the thing with Chase early on, and then she, in this past episode, Bear was interested in talking to her, and then she was, you know, maybe doing something with Hunter when they were out. So there's been a little bit of some showman stuff that we haven't really touched on. And then apparently there was a Julia and who was it? Scally, help me out. Who did Julia
hook? Hunter.
Hunter. Julia and Hunter had hooked up at some point during the season. But
for some reason, that's gross to me. I don't know why.
I think
it's mostly the Hunter aspect of that is gross to me.
Yeah, that's like the Young Bucks thing. They just, you know, have sex with as many people on the season as they can, and then they brag about it, and about how they're in the room with each other when they're doing it, and it's all gross.
That is extraordinarily gross, and I wish I didn't know that that was their thing.
They talk about it all the time, even on like the reunions and stuff. They've mentioned it many times. You just probably blocked it out of your memory.
Seeing Nani be like, oh, I actually really like Hunter on the last episode was so devastating for me. And I was, please, Turbo, go save your mom. Please don't move her away from Hunter. I'm very upset by this development. Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of showmancing that has not been highlighted this season. I don't know. I forget if it was Brian and Allie or someone else had brought up the idea of like a 30-minute like separate episode or online episode or whatever you wanted to do to highlight that type of stuff. But there's definitely been, I mean, the ones that Ligori listed, I know I said like Ashley and Zahida had like a showmance that was highlighted in a lot of the in a lot of like the previews, and I think there was another that I'm blanking on, of course, right now. But it, there's definitely been stuff like that that has been cut in the interest of the drama.
More so. Maybe Shailene was in something with someone. I don't know. Maybe that's where she was having all
there
the
was
content.
There was a fight that it was definitely cut, but
yes.
That allegedly she, right after her fight, she paused and said, "Oh, that's going to make good TV." But apparently it didn't. So.
I've always wondered if, like, because you hear about people not scripting fights, but, like, forcing fights or forcing hookups. Like, there must be so many cases where people hook up with someone almost primarily to have a storyline with that person, and then it doesn't make air, and it's like, oh, my God, I just banged Kyle for no reason.
Yeah, absolutely. That's got to run through their heads.
That's brutal. That's, yeah.
But the Georgia and Bear one has been especially – I feel like they've been following that for pretty much the entire season. I feel like there's something there, and I don't know if that's going to get, like, resolved, if that's going to be leading into next – because that was a big thing on this episode with Wes telling Georgia during the deliberation that Bear said that he likes – or he thinks that Nani's prettier than you, and then Georgia was very upset by that. So there's something to watch with these two.
You think that relationship has legs, Liguori?
I don't know if it has legs. I feel like, you know, Stephen Bear is not somebody that you really can probably settle down with and start a happy family or anything like that. But in terms of, like, reoccurring challenge storylines, like, I don't know if they're like, are they going to be the next Kara and Kyle if they end up breaking up? Like, are we going to hear about it for the next couple seasons? I don't know.
You don't think they're going to get married and George is going to have some bear cubs and they're going to live happily ever after?
I gotta go. Is one of your favorite things about this season the challenge names, Arms Are Getting Tired, and some of those?
Oh, yeah. There are some real home runs in there.
Yeah. Every time that TJ announces, like, a new one, I'm like, ugh, Colin is enjoying this so much.
Doom Buggy.
So bad. I don't know.
Sorry. Yeah. What I'll say in terms of the whole Bear in Georgia of it all is just I did go back a little bit today and tried to do a little bit of research. One thing that I forgot, I don't remember if it was on the, like, rookie preview or if it was on that first episode, but Bear lets us know immediately, I have a girlfriend at home that I have not broken up with yet, and I'm planning on doing it, but so we shouldn't be blindsided by this. Bear has been, and from my experience with Bear and everything I know of Bear, is Bear goes from, you know, whoever he's dating, like, there's overlap every single time. He does not end things cleanly. I also will say on episode 5, when, you know, 2 episodes ago, Bear is called in and Nani is up in the tribunal, and Bear says something like, "Stop flirting with me." And it comes completely out of nowhere. It's so confusing. But then you see the next episode, maybe Bear's been flirting with Nani the whole time, and yeah, things are out of order. So it kind of contextualizes things a little bit more.
Yeah, I think Bear, and this is what I was talking about earlier on, about the difference between Bear and Polly, is Bear, I loved that confessional he gave, and I think it sums him up so perfectly, where he's like, my policy is lie 100% of the time, deny, 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 and eventually it will go away. And that kind of, like, winking at the camera element of it, like, somehow makes this ludicrous behavior okay with me.
Yeah, well, that's Bear. That's what they give him all these big bucks for. And I like I said, no one's settling down to live a happy life with Bear. But I think it's working out for Kyle, this storyline about how he goes through all the women on the show, which is disgusting of him. And if Bear's going to follow the same route, they're going to keep bringing him back because that's what MTV likes to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. So anything more on Bear in Georgia? Am I skipping over that?
No, I think that's about it. I feel like we probably will get some, maybe some small conclusion at the end of whoever goes home, or if they make the final or whatever. I feel like they'll kind of wrap this up a little bit, but I don't know. I guess we'll have to see.
All right. Any other major drama that I'm skipping at this point?
Scally's really close to me in the draft. That's kind of dramatic.
Oh man, I can't wait to not win.
Scally's got such a good team behind his two first picks went out so early with CT and Bananas, and then his entire rest of his roster is just, like, racking up points, and it's annoying.
Am I doing – can I at least catch Haley?
You cannot catch Haley.
Oh, cool.
You have 39 points to Haley's 59 points, and you have two players. So every week it's very easy to update your scores because they just kind of add 2 points or 3 points because everybody just lasts into the next episode. So they get those points.
All right. Sorry about that. No, one other thing that I wanted to ask, just kind of a general question in seeing how this has played out so far. It really does seem like that UK alliance has been the defining kind of voting block, or, you know, not voting block. They're not casting votes or whatever, but you know what I'm saying? Like alliance within the house. Skelly, do we have any inclinations about how a possible like UK heavy endgame is more likely to play out, or is it really just going to come down to who's in power at the right time?
I think we'll see how the format changes, because if you have, you know, let's say 5-6 teams left and three of them are immune, I think that's going to be, you know, kind of limiting on the gameplay.
Sure.
But we'll see. I think knowing MTV, they might not really care. So I do think it's going to end up coming down to more so competitions and if any UK teams get taken out before that point comes.
Okay, because in looking just kind of at the front runners, again, I think it's hard to pick a team conclusively like above Ninja and Polly based on what we've seen to this point, but neither of them is British. So at a certain point, it seems like there's going to be some eliminations that potentially need to be won unless they just can stay in the tribunal, or if it becomes a lower number, the duo-bunal, whatever, for as long as they can. I guess, LaGuardia, do you have any thoughts on which of the any kind of like British relationships may rule the day near the end, or is it just going to come down to when the eliminations you have to go into?
We've I think there was five. I think was like the main number. Scally, didn't you say six? Was there a six?
Zahida went home.
Well, I thought Zahida was five. I thought she was the five, and now there's four left. There's Turbo, there's Bear, there's Ashley, and
Theo, Zahida, and Georgia.
Okay, I always forget about Kyle. Oh, and Georgia. Yeah, I guess Kyle's the one I forget about.
Yeah, so, Turbo doesn't count as British, although he does have a
Did I say Turbo? I don't know. But anyway, so they already lost one of their numbers with Zahida going home. If we're thinking in terms of like edit and stuff, it seems like Ashley might not be making the cut towards the end. I just feel like we're probably going to end up with like, say there's four teams that make the final, as is like been going on in the past few seasons. I feel like you'll probably get at least two, if not three of them in there at the very end.
Okay. So I'm definitely curious to see how this whole kind of British invasion continues to play out, because it seems like if this kind of casting trend continues where MTV is doing a lot of pulling from other shows, this could just be the very beginning, the tip of the iceberg of non-canonical characters coming in and just kind of ruling the day immediately. As Skally, I think you made a good point earlier, like these veterans are showing up with so much beef from all these previous seasons and feel like they have to pull each other into eliminations early to send messages or get payback for previous transgressions and send messages for future seasons. It could be the dawn of a new day of the younger crew, the fresh meat, almost potentially having an advantage on the challenge. And I think that is really exciting and can't wait to see how the rest of this ends up playing out. I guess unless there is anything that is a major oversight, Matt LaGuardia, I know BB Can 7 is well underway and you have a lot of coverage going on for that. Where can people be finding you?
Yep, just follow me on Twitter and you'll get anything that I have going on for that, for Survivor, doing some blogs for that and whatnot. And of course, some challenge tweets mixed in there as well. So let us know what you guys are thinking about, because like there's so much going on with this challenge stuff. So, you know, we've been kind of talking about it in the Dom and Colin patron group, which you should be in if you're not. But please, like, let us know what you're thinking about, what we've been talking about today, because it's been so much fun. So I want to talk about it with like anybody who wants to talk about it.
Yeah. And that is at Matt LaGuardia on Twitter, because I don't think he said that, but they're pretty intuitive regardless. But just for the official record, and Skally, where can people be finding you?
I'm on Twitter at Brian_Skally, and that's where you're going to find pretty much everything. Otherwise, I will see you back here in, let's hope, a month or so.
Yeah, let's do it. No, I'm sure we will be back relatively soon to get caught up after a few more episodes. Until then, I am on Twitter at Colin Stone, and you can email the show, domandcolin@gmail.com. As Ligori mentioned, we actually do weekly bonus episodes for subscribers over at patreon.com/domandcolin, talking through classic CBS reality seasons. Right now, we are in the thick of Survivor Fiji, and actually, two episodes ago, I was joined by special guest Matt Ligori. So check that out if you are so inclined. Until next time, we will talk to you very soon. Take care, everybody.